I read a story that had some particular relevance to the holiday that we're celebrating today. And it was about a woman that looked out her window and she saw her German shepherd savagely shaking her neighbor's rabbit. And so her family didn't really get along with the neighbor, so she knew that this was going to be a major problem. So she grabbed her broom and she started hitting her dog until the dog finally released that extremely dead rabbit. And then she panicked. She went and she took up the rabbit and she gave it a bath and she combed it and blew dry its white fluffy fur. And then she snuck back in her neighbor's yard and she snuck the rabbit back in the cage. And about an hour later, she heard screams from the neighbor. And she said, "What's going on here?" She said, our rabbit, he died 2 weeks ago and we buried him and he's back. Today, I want to share with you something of utmost importance to this church family and to every church family of every denomination. On this day, Resurrection Sunday, we remember and celebrate Jesus Christ rising from the dead back to life again. But you know what? I think we get so used to saying Happy Easter that we actually forget what we're actually talking about here. We're talking about Jesus who, having been nailed to a cross, experiencing complete and total death as if there were any other kind, literally coming back to life again. We are talking about a body as dead as a body can be, not just having its lungs refilled with oxygen, not just having blood coursing again through its veins, not just having brain activity returning to normal. We're talking about Jesus being raised in a glorified body. And y'all, if that wasn't enough, that body that literally rose from the grave had died 3 days previously for the sins of every man, woman, and child. Friend, if you can't get excited about that, then you need to check your pulse. Amen? One of the most basic truths of the church and of the Bible is that Jesus rose from the dead. Man, I mean, without the resurrection, the rest of the Bible is pretty much meaningless. In fact, when the Apostle Peter came to the home of a Roman army captain named Cornelius, his primary message was, "Hey, Cornelius, Jesus rose from the dead." And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 39, that's on page 977 in the Bibles in front of you if you want to follow along. But in Acts chapter 10 in verse 39, Peter's proclamation went like this. "Hey, Cornelius, we are witnesses of all the things which Jesus did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him, Jesus, God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who, get this, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets, all those Old Testament prophets, witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission or forgiveness of sins." What Peter proclaimed years ago is exactly what I'm proclaiming to you this morning. Your message today has two parts. the facts and the acts. The facts, the first part, is what you need to know about the resurrection of Jesus. The acts is what you need to do in light of the resurrection of Jesus. And if you and I can get a grip, if we can get a grip on those two things, this will be the best Easter you ever had. First of all, the facts. What do you need to know about the resurrection of Jesus? There are three specific things that we all need to know, whether you are already a Christian or you're thinking about maybe becoming one. The first thing you need to know is that Jesus died for, say for. Jesus died for you. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says that God demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, when Jesus died, the mind blower is this. He chose to die that way. Jesus made a distinct choice. Why? Listen to me. Because he knew that you would be here today. He knew that you would be here today, and he knew that you were going to be standing in need of a Savior who would die for you. But I want to put this in perspective for you today in a picture that maybe we can all understand a little bit better, because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Every one of us have woefully fallen short of our obedience to God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Every one of us has woefully fallen short of our obedience to God's law and what he expects of us as his creation. Here's the deal. Because of that disobedience, we're put on trial. We're put on trial, and the verdict is easily rendered, and we are guilty, every one of us. We're guilty of the sins we've committed. We're guilty of disobeying the laws of God. We're guilty of falling woefully short of what he expects of me and you. And now it's time for the punishment phase. The judge delivers the sentence for our sins, the sentence for our disobedience, and that sentence is eternal death. We are to be eternally separated from God forever. But at the same time, this judge who passes sentence on every one of us, God himself, urgently, fervently wants a relationship with every one of us. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, instead of punishing you and me, he decided that he would punish his one and only son. He made a choice to punish his son. His son, who had done nothing wrong, mind you, so that the sentence against you could be vacated. So that the sentence against me could be acquitted. So that you and I could come into a relationship with God who loves us more than love can be. And the short of it is this. Although every one of us is guilty, Jesus took the hit. Jesus took the hit. And when you place your trust in Jesus, you walk out of that eternal courtroom a free man. You walk out of there a free woman. You walk out of there with no stain of sin on your record whatsoever. You're totally, absolutely, 100% set free of the condemnation and the guilt of your disobedience and mine. Why? Because Jesus died for you. But he didn't stop there, because Jesus also rose for you. Say for. He rose for you. Now, most kids this morning probably got him an Easter basket or at least a chocolate Easter bunny of some sort. But Easter's good news is this. If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
Easter ain't about a rabbit. Easter ain't about a rabbit, y'all. It's about God in human flesh literally rising from the dead and proving that he is exactly who he claimed that he was. It's about God in human flesh being crucified. And then those women went to the tomb and they found two angels there who said, "He ain't here. He's risen." But Brother Chuck this morning at the sunrise service brought something to our understanding, because the next word is very important. Luke said, the angel said, "Remember. Remember." You see, that's what we're doing this morning, aren't we? We're remembering how Jesus spoke to us when he was still in Galilee, and that the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men, that he must be crucified on a criminal's cross, and then on the third day, he's going to rise again. "Remember how he told you," the angel said. It was like those angels asked, "Don't you remember what Jesus said? Don't you remember that Jesus promised that he was going to die and then rise again from the dead?" I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves today. If you've been in church for any time, you've heard this story a time or two. Do you remember? Are you here this morning to remember what Jesus did for you? Are you here to remember that Jesus died for you, but also that Jesus died, rose for you? Remember. See, not only did Jesus die for you, he returned for you. He returned for you. His victory over death was proof positive that every single thing that he claimed about himself was 100% true. He died for you. And he rose for you. But Jesus also cares for you. One highlight at Easter for a pastor is to meet all the visitors and guests that come and having a full house to worship and honor the Lord's resurrection like we do. We probably don't get no better than this, amen? But there's no way that I can know every one of your circumstances. There ain't no way I can know everything that's going on in every one of your lives. There is no way that I can know what each one of you actually believes about God. But I'll tell you this, no matter where you are in life, whether you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're an atheist, whether you've been trying to please God all your life, or whether you don't really care what God thinks, none of that has any bearing on this fact. Jesus cares for you. He loves you. This God-man who died on the cross, rose from the dead, is the same God that wants you to know something this morning. He wants you to know this morning, he wants you to know right here, right now, that there is nothing that you could ever do, nothing you could ever say, that would make him love you any more or love you any less than he does right now. Do you need proof of that? Do you need proof that Jesus cares for you? Do you need proof that Jesus loves you with all his heart? I invite you to look at the cross. Is that enough to prove that Jesus loves you? If that's not enough to prove that Jesus cares for you this way, consider this. Consider this promise that he makes for you right now, right here. Here's the promise. Is if you will only believe in him, he will take away every bad thought you've ever had. If you will only believe in him, he will remove every sin you've ever committed. If you will only believe in him, he will take away every little bit of guilt you have ever placed on yourself. Will you accept his care today? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, my friend, does Jesus care for you? Will you accept his care? If you'll simply believe, then you can receive. It's just that simple. If you can believe, then you can receive all that Jesus has promised. Now, those are the facts. That's what you need to know. But we're not done, because we also need to know the acts. We need to know, what are we called to do in light of the Lord's resurrection? We've seen what Jesus has already done. Now, what does Jesus call you and I to do this Resurrection Sunday? Well, the first thing he calls you to do is something that's going to sound so incredible, but he calls you to die to yourself. That's right. It's probably the hardest thing that any human can do. Because self wants to do what self wants to do. Self wants to do it when self wants to do it. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's the hardest thing to do, but listen to me. It is doable. It is doable with the power of God. You see, it's something that God calls everyone to do who will come to him, and to those that will follow him, that's what he calls them to do. In other words, it's absolutely necessary that if you come to Christ, you're going to have to die to self. And what Christ calls you to do, he will also give you the power to get done. So you don't have to worry about that. But he calls you to die to yourself. Jesus told his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Taking up your cross literally means to die to self. What happens on a cross? Somebody dies. We are called to die to self. Die to self. Now, what does die to self mean, Bill? Die to self means you're no longer number one. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may have been number one this morning, but you ain't number one no more. Theologically speaking, it means that you're identifying with what Christ did on the cross. But practically speaking, it means that you've accepted him as the one who saved you from sin's penalty, but also that you are no longer the boss. Kids get that. Children get that. That they're no longer the boss over their life. Why? Because Jesus calls us to die to self. But then he says that we're also called not only to die to self, but we're called to live for Jesus. To live for him. If I want to live for Jesus, that means that now I'm going to consider what he wants. Not about what I want. I'm going to consider what Jesus wants. I want what he wants in my life. Why? Because what he wants for my life is best for my life. So, that being said, I want to be the kind of husband that Christ wants me to be. I want to be the kind of father that Christ wants me to be. I want to be the kind of pastor that Christ wants me to be. I want to be the kind of friend that Christ wants me to be. I'm going to die to self, and I'm going to live for him. And why should I do that? Simply said, because of Easter. because Jesus died for me, because Jesus rose for me, because Jesus cares for me, I simply acknowledge by the way that I live my life that Jesus should rightfully be in charge from this second forward. But not only are we called to die to self and live for Jesus, he also says, I want you to rise with me. I want you to be resurrected with me. I want you to rise with me. You may not know this, but the British Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, that was his name. He arranged his own funeral. And at the funeral, they sang some somber hymns and they gave some eloquent eulogies. And at the end of the service, however, Churchill had a surprise for him. As the service began to end, a bugler on the far side of the cathedral played this song. Everybody's attention. But he wasn't done yet. Because after that bugler played that song, that tune, from that side of the cathedral, another bugler began to sound off and played this tune. Military signal that the day is done. Reveille is the military signal that the day is beginning. It's time for a wake-up call. Amen. So what was Churchill saying? He was saying, we might say good night here, but we're saying good morning up there. Amen. Now, why could Churchill do that? Churchill could do that because he believed Jesus Christ, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Friend, if you're a Christian, it is promised to you that there you will come a point in time when you're going to experience the resurrection. We can trust the promise. Why? Because it was made by the one who already died and rose again. Now, I've counted, and I found that I have celebrated a whole lot of Easters. Not as many as Kevin on his birthday, and not as many as Natalie on her birthday either. I'm only kidding. But a lot of Easters. A lot of Easters. In fact, I admit that in my early years, man, Easter bunnies and Easter baskets were really all I thought about. Very rarely did I think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But listen carefully. Finally, I came to a point in time when I had to wrestle with the fact of the resurrection. I had to wrestle with that in my mind, in my heart. I had to decide, had Jesus done enough for me to trust him with my eternal life? My decision was yes. Jesus had proven without a doubt that he was the one worthy of my life. He was the one worthy of my dedication. He was the one worthy of my devotion. And he was the one worthy of my worship. He was the one. And can I tell you that ever since that day, things have never been the same. Your question this morning is, what are you going to do with Jesus this Easter? At the end of John's gospel, in the very last verse of the 21st chapter, John said there are also many other things Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that could be written. This morning, I've shared with you some facts about the gospel account of the Lord's resurrection. But the facts, friend, only represent the end of chapter 1. The acts. What you're willing to do in light of the resurrection are the beginning of chapter 2. You see, in the Bible, the gospel is followed by acts. The good news of Jesus in people's lives was followed by acts in people's lives. Our acts also begin with understanding the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a righteous life, was crucified on Calvary's cross, but rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. Now, what comes after that understanding is what we're faced with today. You see, you and I can never produce the acts of God without the gospel of God. You can't do right without Jesus and his glorious resurrection. My Easter challenge to you is this. Listen carefully. My Easter challenge to you is that you will let the facts of the gospel produce acts in your life. And that you will allow the acts of your life to always begin with the facts of the gospel. In other words, let God's good news of love produce in you acts of love. Let God's good news of mercy produce in you acts of mercy. Let God's good news of Christ's resurrection produce in you, listen carefully, your own resurrection. My friend, what are you going to do with Jesus this Easter? Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for not only the life of Christ, not only for his death on our behalf, and Lord, not even for the resurrection of our Savior. I thank you for these that are here today who are asking you to change their life, to allow the gospel of God to produce the acts of God in their life. Lord, this is what we call decision time. What are we going to do with Jesus this Easter? Whether we've been a Christian for a long time, or we just come just maybe thinking we might become one. Father, our prayer today is that you have spoken loudly and clearly to everyone here. And that, Lord, if anyone stands in need of salvation, of being saved, if they stand in need of the absolute assurance of heaven when their days on earth are through, Lord, if they stand in need of prayer today, Lord, if they realize, oh my heavens, the gospel of God is not producing acts of God in my life. Today, you can put a period that's at the end of that sentence and begin chapter 2. Father, I pray that whatever the prayer needs may be, that through this decision song, Father, you would give us enough faith to step out, step up, step forward. And Father, just hear what you might do through just a step of faith. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for raising Jesus from the dead for us. And Lord, let our lives give you praise as a result of what you've done through the gospel of God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, stand together.
Now I'm alone to breathe the air of heaven. We're playing.